bit of a foreshadowing of where we're going. So in these next 2 weeks coming up, this would be a great opportunity for you to think about inviting maybe somebody that is pushing through some things. Next week, we're going to talk about how prayer can help us in healing and restoration. And then the final week of our time together will actually be, what do you do when God doesn't show up? When do you do when you pray and you pray and you pray and it seems like God is silent? How do we process that? And so in these moments, it's really, really important that we think about those that are outside the building, because the challenge that we have as a church is to be outwardly focused, to actually leave the 99 behind and go after that one that needs to know who Jesus is. And my promise to you is this, based upon my understanding of Scripture, that if you'll lean into that in the risk of being uncomfortable, of inviting somebody to come and be a part of the conversation, God will bless it beyond all measure. But just like the song this morning, and I hadn't heard those words, but they're great words from Scripture, I'm reminded that we have to pass through the water. That's not what that song was about. It was about, look, you're going to pass through tough waters. And as you know, I've been working through the Old Testament in my daily Bible reading. I've shared this a couple times, but just finishing up Numbers now into Deuteronomy to be reminded what the ancient Israelites had to go through and how their story isn't much different than our story as God's people. And so the purpose of where we've been in these 40 days, 50 days of prayer is to be intentional about helping you seek the Father's heart, to seek Daddy's heart about what he wants for you and what he wants for us and then what he wants for our community. And yet it's hard stuff, because I don't know about you, but it seems like even this last week coming out of Easter, it's like, Maundy Thursday and then Good Friday and then Easter Sunday. And I know what just a little bit I had to do. I was just overwhelmed. And so I was grateful that this week was sort of an easy week in that regards, because and I'm still not where I want to be. It just feels like there's just something dark and heavy that I'm pushing into. And it has to do with some conversations with some friends that they're leaning into a season of life. And it just, I want to be there for them. And I know at the same time, I can't carry it for them. And so this morning, I want you to take out your worship notes. And then even while you're doing that, how many of you brought your prayer journal this morning? You got your prayer journal? Good. You get an extra gold star for the morning. Turn to page 178. This is something I want you to work on this week. Is really, you know, what is your gratitude list? You know, these are the things in the back of the book that we sometimes forget about. You know, what is it that you're grateful for? Because it's in these moments when life is hard and difficult and complicated that we need to have a list like this. And I love the way it's sort of put together with the alphabet. So what words come to mind that you're grateful for that start with A or B or C or D? For me, under E, I've got my daughter Emma. Because I'm grateful for her heart and her place in the kingdom. But I want you to think about how you would fill this list out. And I'm hoping that this book, and it's a pretty book, is one of these things that won't get just pushed onto the shelf at the end of our 50 days together, but will actually be something that you can push into and look and go back through. I mean, the idea of even rereading some of the scriptures that each day has to say, well, what did you hear God say today? Because the season that you're in today isn't the season that you were in a year ago. And again, my challenge is through this 40 days, 50 days of prayer, is that my prayer has been, as your pastor, that you are different at the end of this journey than you were when we began it. That you may be a little more unsettled about a couple things because you're realizing there's some areas that you need to work on. Or maybe there's some areas that you've pushed into where you've seen victory. But I want us to look at a particular verse here this morning as we start, and it comes from Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, chapter 6, verse 18. Because I want us to remember that prayer is our greatest privilege. It's about that friendship we have with God. And so look what Paul has to say here. Paul says what? Pray at all times, in the Spirit, with every prayer and request, and stay alert with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. I mean, there's a lot there. You might want to underline some of these words here. In the Spirit, let God lead you. Listen to the impressions. I don't know about you, but that's probably the hardest thing that I have in my day-to-day quiet time is how do I quiet my head with all that I know that's ahead of me in the day and hear God speak. I don't know about you, but I want to hear God speak. I want to hear God speak in an intimate way because I want to know what his heart is for me as his son, but I also want to know what it is for you as a church, for each of you individually, and then what it is for the church writ large. And when, how often are we supposed to pray? Paul says, at all times. There's no bad time to pray. Always a good idea to pray. And with all, with every prayer, it's a prayer for every emotion and situation. I mean, if we go back and look at the book of Psalms, David writes there in so many different ways where he's complaining and he's crying out and he's comforting and he's confessing and he's clarifying and he's also celebrating. And so the book of Psalms can be in that moment when you're not sure what to pray. That's a great place to start, is just open the Psalms and start reading those words aloud. And wherever you see the word I, replace that word with your own name so that you can identify with what David maybe said years ago in your own story. And to be also be reminded that the requests that we're supposed to make, Paul says, there's no subject off limits. There's nothing off limits for God to sort of deal with in your own life. He wants to hear from us as his children. But it requires a plan. It must be prepared. And you need to think it through because there's this idea of perseverance. Never stop praying, he says. And then, most importantly, he wants us to intercede. It's a big word for all the saints. In other words, he wants us to stand with each other. And that's why community is so important. That's why what you're pushing into with your small groups is so important, because you're doing life at a level that we can't do at this level. It's one thing to gather in a room and be part of a worship experience, but to actually sit in a living room or in a kitchen or in a basement in a rec room where you're in a circle and people are sharing their stories and their frustrations and their accomplishments. And so that's why I'm excited by what may happen for us as we celebrate the journey we've been on April 29th. So this morning what I want to do is I want to take the Lord's Prayer, because you see, the problem that many churches have done is we've made the Lord's Prayer a ritual. And that's not what it was intended to be. We have it as part of our service. It's out of an act of response, but that's not the intention. The intention wasn't for some kind of liturgy that we were supposed to respond to. In fact, as we've been over these last 3 or 4 weeks together in this message, I've reminded you that it's Jesus has a couple different ideas of how he wants us to pray. And in fact, it's interesting that this is the only thing that really the disciples asked for help on. It's like after he had prayed, it's like, well, how do we pray? And then Jesus sort of maps it out. And so this morning, I'm going to sort of unpack that a little bit for you. Because the reality is, if you aren't praying through your day, you can't do what Paul just laid out for us in Ephesians. That's just too much. You can't get that done in 2 minutes. And so I want to give you a model this morning that's not my model. It's been used by several other people to look at how the Lord's Prayer can prepare you in your daily routine, whatever that is, to be mindful of inviting God into your journey, okay? First of all, and here's the first point, is we're going to develop two habits. First of all, is to develop a running conversation with God. In other words, it's not where you just have an interaction with God and you're done. It's like literally all day long, there needs to be just an ongoing conversation with the Father. It's like breathing. You just don't think about it. You do it naturally. It's like any habit. It's with practice. And the more you practice that, you get good at it. It's to pray conversationally. Just talk to God about whatever's on your mind at the moment. It's a free-flowing conversation. Paul, again, we just saw, says, pray at all times in the Spirit. You can, on any occasion, in any place, from the water closet to your bedroom to driving the car, actually pray about anything all the time. And that's something that we need to be in a constant state of. Now, some of you will say, well, I don't feel like praying. Well, I'm not. That means that you're not praying what you feel. And so if you're in a moment, in a funk, if you're in a frustration moment where I don't know what to pray, you need to say to God, God, I don't know what to pray right now. I really don't know what it is that you're asking me to do, what I'm experiencing, the patience that I need to develop, or the pain I need to push through. But in that moment, because he says here in his letter to the Thessalonians, what? Simply, it's another short verse that you can memorize. Pray how often? Constantly. Constantly. Now, it's interesting here. I just want to take us back to, do you know where the idea of a clock came from? Do you know the idea of the clock is actually grounded in prayer? Now, I've had the pleasure over the last number of years to head off to a place in lower state New York, I guess, the Valley of the Genesee, and there's an abbey there. And when you go to the abbey, it looks like this, and this is what you hear. Thank you. literally thousands of years, the Jews have said prayers at set times. And if you're in the Abbey of the Genesee, you will hear six different times through the day that bell. You'll hear it at 6 a.m. You'll hear it at 9 a.m. You'll hear it at 3 p.m. You'll hear it at 6 p.m. And you'll hear it later in the evening to remind you. And in each of those times, it's an intentional way of focusing your heart and mind on what God would do. Now, the problem is, if you think about the great churches of our communities, many of them back in the day used to have bells in their belfry, along with bats, I'm sure. But there was this idea that we call Liturgy of the Hours. And as we look at the history of this idea of the clock, in fact, the old Latin word for bell is literally that word, clock. You see, clocks were created to remind us to pray. But in the busyness of our world, we don't do that. And the problem is today that we put the clock on this, and we don't know it. We don't wear it on our wrists anymore, for the most part. And yet it's that reminder of how do I pray through the day? What is it that God desires for me? And that's why the monks were particularly focused on this understanding, to help their people understand what it means to stop what you're doing and pray. And so this morning, again, I want us to, the second part of this habit is I want you to schedule prayer times throughout the day. David says this in Psalm 119, I praise you seven times a day for your righteous judgments. You see, over the centuries, and in fact, the liturgy was called the divine office. I'm not quite sure what that means, other than that they were, the ancient church would actually pray actually eight times a day. Now that to me seems really complicated. And you know that if you're in another faith tradition, like our Muslim friends, that they, you know, they're called to prayer the same kind of way. But I think there's a habit in that that I think we need to look at. And so I want us to look at how you can build a daily schedule on looking at the Lord's Prayer to be able to help you as you do your faith walk each day. So first of all, here's the first point. You need to get up with gratitude. You need to start the day with thanksgiving. That's why the list there of the things that are good that you're grateful for in your prayer journal. We start the day with thanksgiving. There's no grumbling, there's no griping, there's no groaning, there's no growling, or even grunting. In fact, doctors tell us that the healthiest human emotion is gratitude. And when we're grateful, it changes the way we start the day. And so the idea is the first thing that you get to do when you get out of bed is you want to say the first voice, literally the first words out of your mouth should be, thank you, Father, for your love. Thank you for the joy that you've given me of another breath today, because that may not come. And so that idea of leaning into your prayer journal to be reminded, because there are moments in your faith walk where life doesn't look good. And so you need to look back through that list of Ebenezers, if you will, of the things that are good about who God is and what he desires for us. You might even think about this. Make a playlist of songs of thanks. I mean, with today's technology, it's real easy with Spotify and Pandora and others to actually create a playlist on your computer or on your smart device to actually encourage you with words from songs that will give you a positive attitude. And it helps to start your day focusing on the goodness of God. Now, Matthew says this as we lean into this model of the Lord's Prayer. Don't be like them, he says, because your Father knows the things you need before you ask him. Therefore, you should pray like this, starting out with, Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. So last week, we leaned into this idea of God being our Father. God being our daddy, God being our papa that wants to provide for us at a level that we don't always see. And yet we need to be reminded that and it's not in your worship notes, but James says in James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect present comes from your Father of light in heaven. And so we begin first by thanking God just for giving us life. And then as we're at breakfast, we want to bless God's name, to bless him, to give honor to him, to give respect to him, to give praise to him. It's actually, you know, the second phrase of the Lord's Prayer. We say, hallowed be your name. The writer of Psalms again says, every day I will bless your name and praise it forever and ever. You see, it's interesting. In Psalms, God's name is praised about 80 times. What's the big deal? Well, your name is your character. Who and what's your name? Today, we don't really do that so much as we name our children. But as you read through the scriptures, a person's name reflected who they were and the character that their family wanted to import to them. And so it's this idea of God's name matters to us. And so as we give his name, hallowing his name, what do we mean by that? I mean, just look at these. And if any of you would like to get a list, I can give you an entire list if you send me an email. I'll send you a 3-page document that actually lists out all the names of God in Scripture. Just send it to tom@lindenroad.church, and I'll be happy to send it back to you. But just look at this particular list of names here of who God is. Last week we talked about it. God says, I am. I am what? I am Abba. I am your loving Father. Another Hebrew word, Eldia. I'm your God who knows you and everything about you. I mean, think about that as you're pushing through whatever it is, dealing with a spouse, dealing with a work co-worker, dealing with children, is this idea that God knows what you're pushing through. And these things matter to us, and we lose them in our English translations. Jehovah Jireh, God says, I am your provider. Jehovah Shalom, I am your peace. Jehovah Rapha, I am your God who heals you. And then El Shaddai, I am Almighty God with all power, with all the power that you need. You see, and that's why pushing into this series on prayer has been intentional on the part of helping you see what it is that God wants to do in and through you, both in terms of where you find yourself every day, and then corporately where we find ourselves as a church. These are important things to know for us. I mean, the writer of Psalms says this in chapter 9, verse 10, those who know your name trust in you because you have not abandoned those who seek you, Lord. So you start to work, and about mid-morning, you take a brief break. So we've started out with beginning with thanking God for who he is, and then understanding who God really is, that he is the God that can provide and can help you lead into whatever day, and you say that to bless him at your breakfast time. And then somewhere about that second cup of coffee after breakfast, maybe at mid-morning, you need to remember what matters most, this idea of dedication. Because you see, it's easy for us to get distracted by busyness. That's why within the ancient monasteries, they actually stopped and went to prayer to be reminded that what they're in front of them, the productivity that they're pushing into, that if they're not centered in who they are and whose they are, then where they're going isn't going to really accomplish much. And so there's so much in that. You lose your focus and you miss what it is that God wants to have for you. And so you literally pause and pray. And what do you pray? Well, you pray this, may your kingdom come and may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, what you need to be doing is aligning your purposes with God's purposes. Because he knows what you're facing. He knows what you're leaning into. He knows what's coming around the corner at you, literally on the road or in the house or in a conversation when the phone or the email shows up. You see, we need to understand that God has promised to help you with your workday. He's helped, whatever that is, he's promised to help you through that. Now, later in Matthew chapter 6, he says this, if you seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, all these other things will be given to you as well. And so, again, it's about centering ourselves in the course of the day. It's about being intentional. It's about being mindful. And I guarantee you that if you'll lean into this as a model over this next couple of weeks, it will radically change the way you see yourself and even the way you see your circumstances. And then when you get to lunch, we want you to list out your needs at lunch, your petition, if you will. You may be eating a sandwich, but that can remind you of this fourth phrase. So what can I do? Two things. You can ask for anything you need. I mean, literally, as you're consuming that which is going to sustain you through the day, that verse, give us today our daily bread, because bread represents everything you need to live. I mean, it's not monthly bread. He's not asking you to just do this. No, he's asking you on a daily basis to lean into it. And then Jesus also says in John chapter 14, verse 13, you can ask for anything in my name. And he reminds us that the many times we have not because we ask not. But at the same time, not only do you ask for what you need, you also need to ask for what other people around you need. And that's where it gets kind of complicated, where you idea we actually go in front of and before and in between of between God and our friends. And the big word is called intercession, or to intercede, to say, God, help, show up, make this thing happen. Even this morning, I got a phone call from a friend who said that they've got a friend who their daughter is 17 and she's gotten herself pregnant. And so the problem is the viability of the child, the child within her is at risk. And so there's a good possibility that she's going to lose the child. But it's set up all sorts of the messiness. I mean, first of all, it's a teenager who's not married, who's having a child. Okay, we can talk and pray about that. We can talk about the amazing and incredible financial costs that are there, both whether the child is viable and becomes a child that they get to hold as an infant, or if the child dies, and the messiness of that. And so how do we intercede? Well, we don't know what God's intentions are, but we can say, God, show up. And so we want to do that this morning. But there's so many other opportunities because we need to ask God to show up in the lives of other people. The writer of Samuel says this, that he would be sinning against the Lord if he failed to pray for you. Now, it's interesting, if you go back and look at that phrase from the Lord's Prayer, what do we say? Give who? Give you? Give us our daily bread. Us together. It's us as a community. It's us corporately. We need to see that. It's an important two-letter word. It's for all of us together. It's plural. 2 Peter also says, His divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. So if you'll list your needs at lunch, you'll go back to work more peaceful. And by mid-afternoon, you've dealt with a bunch of frustrating people, students, whatever, your spouse, whatever, disappointment, hurt. Things have piled up and stacked up, and you maybe have a bad attitude. And so that's why in the afternoon we want to come back and ask God for forgiveness. To literally say, God, I confess that I'm not doing a very good job. God, I confess that I'm a little frustrated. What do we say in Matthew chapter 6, verse 12? Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Now, this doesn't take long, but neither does taking out the garbage. So you just got to do it. You need to own up to your own wrong reaction sometimes to life. I admit my sins and I forgive others who frustrated me, because you certainly don't want to be carrying around any resentment. There's no rational reason in the world for carrying around guilt. And so that's why next week, as we lean into this understanding of hope and restoration and healing, we need to see that in a very simple way. Because there are sometimes people actually think that what they've done is the direct result of their sin. And that's not the way God works. But there still are things in our life, in our attitude, in our perspective, that we need to confess these. David says this, and I don't have it in your worship notes, but Psalm 32:5, I confess my sins to you, and I didn't try to hide them. And then you forgave me, and now all my guilt is gone. And so again, it's that place where we need to sit. And so we've pushed into the afternoon, and we're getting ready to go home. You know, this is interesting, and I don't know if this is a true statistic, but as I was doing some research on it, do you know that 90% of arguments happen 1 hour before dinner? What do you think? You think that's true? I mean, because of a long day, because of a messy, but I also want to say because of low blood sugar. I mean, there's just these physical things that come at us, right? And you think about it. I mean, when do things really come off the rails? When do things really get complicated? It's in those moments when we're tired and frustrated. And yet we need to know that God is there for us in this model of prayer. We need to ask God to help me make wise decisions. That's number 6. And to protect me from making dumb decisions, more importantly. That's where I need protection. I think I can make wise decisions. It's most of the time I'm making dumb decisions that really frustrates me. And he goes on to say in Matthew, Jesus says, And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So I don't know about you, but my worst temptations come at night. To be honest, it's the refrigerator and the TV. That's where they come. That's the greatest temptations. Because for some, and particularly for our young people, it's the computer or the digital device, because it distracts us from what it is that God has for us. But here's what I want us to be reminded as we're thinking about this idea of making wise decisions, of the idea of the temptations that come in front of us. Paul again says, and it's not in your worship notes, but I've got it here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Remember that the temptations that come into your life are no different from what others experience. Now, sit on that for a moment. I mean, we think our messiness is the only messiness that's there, and it's like, no, we're all pushing into this together. That's why I love the fact that when we take communion in this space, that we are all together on the same level. That all of us, the elders and the elements, that we're all here together, because at the foot of the cross it is level. All of us together before Jesus stand in our brokenness with our need of redemption. And that's the beauty of why we get this opportunity, the privilege to pray, and why it's that moment that we need to take and not miss out on. And he goes on to say then, Paul says, And God is faithful. He will keep the temptation from becoming so strong that you can't stand up against it. When you are tempted, He will show you a way out so that you will not give in to it. Now, we need to believe that to be true. And that's another reason why the challenge for us on a weekly basis, as I say, you need to be reading your scriptures. To be reminded that this morning, you know, as you came in, you could actually hop on events.bible.com, and all the notes for today are there, the scripture references. And actually, the beauty of using the app is that the notes are already filled in. So you can just lean into it, and you actually save it, email it to yourself, as you want to push back through it later in the week. Because God wants to speak to us, and he will speak to us through other people, and he will speak to us through prayer, but he's also given us his word. And we live at a time when his word is so available to us that sometimes I think we just take it for granted. And then we get finally to the end of the day, and we end our day with an encouraging truth, the idea of what we would call the benediction. Now, Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 6:13. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. It's something we need to be reminded of. It's something we need to lean into. Because at the end of the day, we need to know that God is in control. It's not the president. It's not some world power. It's not some terrorist organization. That even in the midst of our brokenness, that God is in control. This is not the end of the story. That God and his family, if you go to the last chapter in the book of Revelation, we win. Jesus is established as king, and we get to live under his rule in a new heaven and a new earth. Now, the tension in that, as I've shared before in my own understanding, is that idea of kingdom is that it's not yet. That it's that is promised, and the already that has been promised we know to be true because we can believe in that because that's in the scriptures. But yet we have to live through that. And so like this young woman who's pushing into a teenage pregnancy, it's like, okay, there's lots of things that got her to that point, and we could be judgmental and we could be harsh, but as Christ's hands and feet to the community, we that's why the idea of leaving the 99 to go find the one is really where we need to be. And that makes us uncomfortable because we think it's about us being comfortable, and it's like, no, that's not what Jesus has called us to. Because you see, if we pray this benediction, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, it should change the way we see ourselves. It should change how we even get up each morning, what we get to lean into, and the privilege that we get to be a part of. And at the same time, the opportunity that we have to impact other people's lives. And the risk that's in that, because people are messy, right? Amen? I mean, that's the, when we start into relationships with people, we find out that maybe what we thought isn't what it is. And so in the midst of that, we need to find that God is in the middle of it. And so we need to be reminded that God and his family will win in the end. And I hope that that is, if that's your benediction, will help you sleep better for the day. Now, I want to encourage you as you go into the week to use this as a format of praying. To think about when you get up in the morning, when you get to midday, and to be reminded like the monks of old, that, and even amongst today, if you go to the Abbey of the Genesee, or you go to, there's an abbey down outside of Louisville, and spend time with these men who have felt the call to go into intentional monastic life, to pray for God's people, it will be an amazing thing. Now, as you try this format, as you mark it out regularly, short prayer times throughout your day is the way you're going to be able to conquer it. And so here's the secret sauce. Here's where I'll give you a little advice that can help you in this, that will make this even better. Get a prayer partner to pray with you. Reach out to somebody, and then with technology, you can actually do that on the phone. It's amazing. I will tell you that over the last couple of weeks, I've had the privilege of being part of some conversations with some large things that are happening. And in both cases, when we reveal, because in both cases, these enterprises, these endeavors, there is a huge component of people outside of it that are praying, literally. And when you reveal to people that are pushing into a deeper conversation, and you can show them a list of people literally from around the world, that you can say, these people don't even know who you are, but they are praying for you in this moment. That's an amazing thing. And then when you drill it down to the fact that we could pray together, that is even better. So get a prayer partner to pray with you at least one of your prayer times. The Lord's Prayer is not just a pattern for praying, it's also a pattern for living. It's how we need to push into the day. And so I hope as you look at this, that this will give us a new understanding of what the Lord's Prayer is all about. It's not some ritual, some liturgy that's there. It's something for us to lean into in the moment of each day to be thoughtful. Not so much praying those words intentionally, but praying the context of those words, of giving God praise for who he is, and then leaning into the fact that our brokenness may lead to our frustration with the circumstance we find ourselves. And then to also celebrate the fact that even in the midst of the messiness, when we don't understand life's situations, life's circumstances, why it is that we're in where we're at, that God will actually show up in those matters if we will just seek him. And so let's pray.